Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All but sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Oh, but they never told you the price that you pay for things that you might have done. Only the good die young. That's what I said. Only the good die young. Only the good die young. You might have heard I run with a dangerous crowd. We ain't too pretty, we ain't too proud.
Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Yes, welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Jen. Ed could not join us this week. He is having some computer problems, so we will continue on in his absence. But it's okay, because he's always with us in spirit, and because he will be doing the show next week without us.
Well, there you go.
Because we are going to Hawaii for our anniversary, so that's exciting. And
so exciting.
A year. It's been a year.
Yeah.
If you're someone who listened to our previous podcast, The Idol Review, you would have been a part of the many wedding conversations we had on The Idol Review, including us picking our wedding song, discussing wedding dances, all kinds of wedding talk back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
But once you get married, it doesn't come up very much. You're kind of like, okay, I did that.
Yeah, it's over.
And then once a year, you're kind of like, oh, cool. Glad I still got you. And you go on from there.
Aw, sweetness.
So, so we're back to discuss Glee season 2, episode 3, entitled Grilled Cheeses. There is really no way for us to get through the next, however many minutes of conversation without offending someone. So here's what we're going to do right at the top. Josh and Jen do not intend to offend anyone. We're all just having a good conversation, making some jokes, and, nothing is meant personally.
And I think one other thing is, if anybody was offended by the episode itself, then there's probably nothing we can do or say that won't offend you.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the fact that we laugh at the episode, the fact that people are laughing at the episode at all, I think is going to offend a certain population of people who just don't think that some things should be joked about. And definitely Glee in this episode kind of made the statement that, you know, there's a joke on every side. And I think if you were to give them anything in this episode, it's that they certainly were equal opportunity attacks. And so, you know, it was kind of like, hey, we're going to poke fun at everybody on all sides, and you're just going to have to go with that. So, you know, to their credit, they didn't try to make a statement, but, you know, they made a couple along the way, and so we'll definitely discuss that. But we did have some fun emails. I wanted to point out here, listener Amy in Texas made the comment that she loves the show, but she usually listens to it in her car, and we often have her, quote, twisting and turning, looking for police cars, because the sirens she hears, she thinks are real.
Oh, nice.
We do live across the street. Jennifer and I, we live across the street from a fire department, so there are often sirens in the podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just, there's just nothing we can do about that,
right.
I'm afraid.
But it is raining today in the valley, so the likelihood of fire trucks going by, pretty slim.
It's very true. We had lots of comments about the question last week. I'd asked the parents in the audience if they considered Britney Spears to be a role model, and what their reactions would be if their child put a Britney poster on the wall. No one really, we didn't get too many responses. I'm not sure what that says about our listenership. Maybe there was not a lot of parents in the house. But people did seem to be a little sketchy. The majority of people that did weigh in seemed to feel that it wasn't exactly a role model that they would like their children to have. Not really high on their list of preferred role models. Listener Leanne did have my favorite quote, though. She said, Britney Spears is to music like Daniel Steele is to literature.
I used to love Daniel Steele in the day. So,
you know,
there is a time and place for all artists.
And so we wanted to thank everyone for weighing in on that. And yeah, I guess we can dive right in. We opened up with Finn, Mark Salling's version there of Only the Good Die Young.
Puck.
What did I say?
You said Finn.
Oh, I said Finn. I'm sorry. Salling's. Doing a lot of things at once. we opened up there with Puck's version of Only the Good Die Young. That's a song I listened to a ton as a child.
How did that work for you?
You know, I was not popular in high school.
Aww.
But I love Billy Joel. I would love to see a Billy Joel episode on the show. I think that would be a great episode for the show.
Oh, there's definitely a lot of material there that would have, everybody could do something.
Yeah. But it did seem kind of odd that it wasn't piano based, you know, to have the song performed kind of guitar based felt a little strange.
Are you kidding? There was piano?
Well, there was
this
piano.
This is the triumphant
background.
Return of Brad.
I know. This has to be the first time we've seen Brad in season two.
I think so. I think so, but maybe somebody else saw him.
I think this was his triumphant return. I think you're absolutely right. And it was fun to have Brad back, you know.
Yes.
It's funny. I like having the kids in the band, but without Brad, I mean, he's become such a fixture in the background.
What do you think his one line is going to be?
Oh, I don't know. It'll be something deep and meaningful, I'm sure. you know, he's got to. I think his one line is going to be like the power of the beard. Because that man has an epic, epic beard.
Okay, interesting.
Oh, come on. Look at this. It's like four colors. It's awesome.
It is. It's a rainbow of flavors in that beard. I don't know.
I like that he never really has a reaction. Like, all this stuff goes on around him, and he's just, I'm playing the keys. That's all I do.
Sometimes. There were points last season where he would say so much with just a raised eyebrow.
he's very quiet. I have to admit, I mean, putting Mark Salling's performance up against Billy Joel's, though, I thought Mark Salling's performance was kind of soulless, where Billy Joel tends to bring a lot of soul to his songs.
Well, he has a different range, too.
That's
and
very
I mean,
true.
this was, you know, a guitar-based pop version. I don't know.
It was different.
Yeah.
So the kind of start of this episode, what kicked us off was Finn seeing the face of Jesus in a grilled cheese sandwich, and then finding God. It was kind of funny that we got to see Finn essentially become born again and then have a spiritual crisis and then kind of resolve it all in what for him was about 3 days, I would say, about a week.
He's a simple one. Yeah. Bad Finn.
He does seem to be deep, pretty straight ahead.
I mean, and the thing is, too, if you don't have anything, if you have no belief system or faith base to begin with, it's not easy to pick it up and lose it really quickly. Because
I thought you were going to say it is easy to pick it up and lose it really quickly.
Oh, that's what I did. I say not. Oh,
yes,
God. It's very. I would think it would be very easy to just pick it up and lose it very quickly because you're not readjusting your thought on anything.
Yeah, it's not bred into him.
It's sort of like, hey, this is an idea. Hey, this is working out. Oh, wait, it's not working out. Okay, never mind. It wasn't what I thought it was. But it's okay because, you know, maybe there is something for me. So, yeah, for him to go through that in a week is not surprising.
I like that he said he never really worshipped God. Previously, he worshipped Eric Clapton and Ocho Cinco.
And if it weren't for Dancing with the Stars, I wouldn't know who Ocho Cinco was.
No? He has a show on
but that came after the Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, does it? His like he's looking for love or some random
right,
thing
but
like
he
that.
Got, he got that gig after well, he did know. Dancing with the Stars.
I had no idea. I only know him because didn't he like he changed his name to his number?
His number, yeah, his football number.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Anyhow.
Anyway, so yes, we had we had Finn finding God in a grilled cheese sandwich, which he titled Grilled Cheeses, and continued to call him that throughout the episode. I think if he'd gone with it, like if he'd just kind of seen the face of Jesus in his sandwich and then moved on, it would have been one thing. But he kept coming back to thank you, Grilled Cheeses.
It kind of rolls off the tongue.
It does. It was kind of funny when he was sitting in Emma's office and he's like, I asked God and I prayed to Grilled Cheeses. And he was so passionate about it.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, I don't know if there was any commentary in that, but it was pretty funny. It was pretty odd just to see him, you know, so transfixed on this sandwich that he had to eat half of. He was still hungry.
He was still hungry, but, you know, he wasn't going to be sacrilegious and, you know, eat the grilled cheeses part.
This, of course, drew him into conflict with Rachel. He and Rachel had that great conversation where she said, "I know you found God, but I need you to know that we have to raise our children Jewish." Mm-hmm. The reasoning behind that being that both of her parents were slaves, and so she needed her children to have the liberty or the freedom to grow up in a religion of her choosing.
Yes. Oh, yes. That was not lost.
It was funny, you know, we've never really had the religious conversation come up other than a couple punchlines. And this entire episode was really a religious conversation with different religions kind of represented, but at the same time, a reasonably limited number. I mean, we had, you know, kind of a blanket of Christianity in a couple of the characters. We have Puck and Rachel that are Jewish and are really just, you know, previously have just been Jewish by punchline. Neither of them were actively Jewish, even in this episode. Mm-hmm. And then we had our few atheist characters to represent that side. But it was still a reasonably limited spectrum of the conversation of religion. We didn't have any, you know, Muslim characters or Scientologist characters at any point.
Yeah. I mean, other than, you know, Finn having his revelation, they made a point of saying, okay, well, you know, let's not have it be about religion or any God in particular, but let's have it be spiritually based.
But do you feel like, in a way, that was the show kind of wanting to have its cake and eat it too? Rather than have a conversation about religious freedom or religious tolerance, it was just kind of like, let's talk about spirituality and just go that way.
Well, I mean, they still talked about religious freedom and religious tolerance, even in the, you know, when Sue didn't want them to sing even songs about, you know, spirituality or any sort of faith. I think, honestly, if they got into, you know, if you started identifying every religion out there, and I think the show would have been lost. Like, there would have been no room for plot.
Yeah, and at some point, there would have been no way for them to, like, they would have just started losing audience, like, faster and faster and faster the further they got down the conversation.
I mean, because because, I mean, you get so far off topic, or, you know, say you identify 10 or 15 religions, then, you know, somebody of the faith of that 16th religion is going to be like, hey, what about me? And they're doing a lot. I mean, again, if anybody is offended by the episode, probably shouldn't be watching the show to begin with.
It's true.
But because they do it, you know, they do the show in such a way that you could easily be offended by anything on any subject, whether it be family or sexuality or, you know, religion or anything like that. So, yeah, I just think that they were smart to kind of just, you know, keep it more faith-based and just focus on that element of it.
Well, it's interesting what you say, though, because maybe it's just my own, you know, my own sensitivities to the topic, but of every episode they've had coming up to this point where we've discussed, you know, the teen sexuality and you know, teen pregnancy and all across the board, you know, obsessive compulsive disorders. I mean, they've made jokes about racism again and again and again, and body image issues and the battle of, you know, arts versus sports in schools. Of all of the hot button issues that they've poked fun at pretty much pretty fearlessly, I would think this was the episode that would offend the most people. It's like, this is the subject, at least in America in 2010, which really immediately gets people riled up. I mean, I suppose that the show could come up next week and start, like, pitting half the Glee Club in a Bill O'Reilly versus Obama conversation, and that might get... But I think, like, for the generation that really watches Glee, even they would not be that affected by that conversation as much as they're affected by this one.
But the thing is, the thing that I noticed, which I thought was pretty interesting, is that in the you know, in the glee room, whatever that place is called. Glee
the choir room, I think it is.
The choir room, yes, yes. you know, and they're all talking about different faiths. The one that brought most ire was when somebody said they didn't believe. Like, everybody seemed pretty okay. Like, great, you get your God, I get my God. I'm, you know, I'm a Jew for Jesus, that type of thing.
That was a good, that was like, wow. That was a great line.
But the one that really...
When he called him J Money.
I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah. He says, Puck says, like, the only time I really get annoyed is when people use J Money or, like, exploit J Money for their purposes.
Wow. I watched it a couple of times. Yeah, the only one that I thought was really surprising was the reaction to not believing in any God.
Yeah, Kurt being pretty
crossline. Yeah, and then later Sue reveals that she doesn't believe in God either. And... yeah, I just thought that was, I thought that was interesting because it's a pretty diverse group, and they all seem to have grown to care for one another and accept one another, and you know, and that's the whole crux of the show is mm-hmm. being yourself and being accepted for who you are. But it was just it was surprised that you know it act, that it got the reaction that it did, you know.
Well, we'll definitely talk about Kurt in just a second. Let's go ahead and listen to a song because it's been a little while and I need to turn this light on because it's starting to get really dark in here. Let's go ahead and listen to Finn's version of Losing My Religion. Of course, Corey Monteith there doing the vocals. This song felt really odd to be performed on this show because I'm like, this is such a definitive Michael Stipe moment. But let's go ahead and take a listen to Losing My Religion.
The lengths that I will go to, the distance in your eyes, said enough. That's me in the corner, that's me in the spotlight, losing my religion, trying to keep up with you, and I don't know if I can do it.
This was a hard one for me. Maybe it's just because I like the original Losing My Religion so much, and this performance was essentially karaoke. I mean, the background with the mandolin and the total Peter Buck style of guitar playing. I mean, it was very much just like they, you know, pulled off Michael Stipe and put on Corey Monteith. So this one was a bit of a struggle for me in this episode, this particular song.
Yeah, it was weird, too, to just see him do the solo in this way, because I mean, I guess he really hasn't had a solo before, has he?
Corey Monteith?
Yeah.
Oh, he said, but he's had lots of solos.
I mean, I know he's done, you know, songs with the group and with Rachel, but I don't know. It was odd. It was uncomfortable watching him.
Yeah. Well, it was uncomfortable. The shot was very simple. Like, after the original of him walking, I liked the shot of him walking down the hallway kind of in false slow motion.
Right.
And then, but when he was performing in the choir room, just kind of by himself, he looked a little lost.
Yeah.
And the color, like, the tone and color of that choir room didn't match the weight of the moment that they were trying to create. And at the end of the day, like, this song was extremely... It was a pretty literal interpretation of the moment. If you take the title and then if you really dig into the lyrics, like, I think it's about fame. And I mean, if it's a Michael Stipe song, it's probably about homosexuality. But it felt just a little too literal to what they were trying to accomplish, and yet not really matching at all.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a poker face moment for me. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Interesting. Yeah, it felt it kind of to me, it sort of brought the episode to a screeching halt.
Yeah, I'll buy that. If I had any complaint about this episode, it's that there were 7 full songs in this episode. And it, watching back to it the third time, when I watched it this just before we recorded, it kind of felt like the whole episode was like setting up the next musical number. Like each mm-hmm. conversation was just enough conversation to set up the next musical number. I mean, they introduce the religious, the, you know, the songs about God plot, and then we do Only the Good Die Young, and mm-hmm. then, you know, we introduce Kurt's dad, and then they do I Look to You, and then, you know, mm-hmm. it got really like we were like the plot was just to support the songs as opposed to the songs supporting the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just, you know, that there were so many songs they almost had to do that. But to me, yeah. it was a little overwhelming.
Hmm. I didn't find that way. I watched it a couple of times, but I didn't have quite the same feeling.
Hmm.
Don't worry like that.
<I'm> sorry.
Well,
let's talk about Kurt. Let's talk a little bit about Kurt. You know, it's definitely the more hearts. String plucking plot of the episode. Kurt yeah. and his dad, Kurt and Bert, man, when they want to tug at you, they always they go right to the pocket of Kurt and Bert. And it's such a unique relationship for television. I think that's mm-hmm. why it's such a vulnerable situation, and you know, we as viewers, because of the drama that they've been through and because of the relationship they have, it feels kind of real in a way. And so when something happens to Kurt and Bert, I know it strikes me a lot more than any other relationship on the show, particularly, you know, any of the child and parent relationships, student parent relationships.
Yeah, it's definitely the one we seem to have grown the most affection for and have seen the most range within, the mm-hmm. most growth. The most growth in that relationship. I mean, we had some tender moments with Quinn and her mom last season, but you know, it never really played out that
yeah.
much,
and there wasn't enough of them, and it, yeah. and it's also kind of a relationship we've seen before, so we're less affected by it, I
yeah.
think, whereas the Kurt and Bert relationship is so it's pretty unique to television, and so I mm-hmm. think it's a bit more effective
yeah.
in that way. But yeah, so Bert had a heart attack and went into a coma in this episode. I don't know if it is part of the fact that his Breakfast of Champions was a Coke and two Slim Jims, which sounded delicious. as long as they're not roasted. It was hard because in a way this was our first appearance of Bert in this season.
Mm-hmm.
So to have Bert show up and then immediately get stricken with something, I felt kind of manipulated in a way.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I don't know. It was pretty obvious what was going to happen when Kurt so resoundly turned his back on his dad and said, listen, there'll be another Friday night dinner.
Yeah. And then like, immediately you knew I've heard this Garth Brooks song. If Tomorrow Never Comes.
Okay.
Yes, but you're absolutely right. But he was going for a sing-along Sound of Music, which was kind of awesome. And he missed the previous Friday night dinner because he had to wait in line to get Grey's Anatomy Season 6. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It did feel a bit set up, like we kind of knew that was going to come.
But I didn't mind. I mean, again, it was nice to have Bert back there. I was hoping this wasn't the end of Bert. I couldn't imagine that it would be because
yeah.
I'm sure, you know, their relationship is a very very loved one by the fans and the writers, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody around, yeah.
And then part of that was to set up, you know, Kurt as the atheist in the group, and to be able to draw that conversation into the forefront. It was kind of a dicey conversation, I think, because if I kept waiting for the show to, at the end of the episode, have Kurt look to the Christian characters and say, I'm wrong. You know, like, that felt like where it was going.
I mean, I think that's where most shows will traditionally go.
That is the traditional storyline,
yeah. You stick to their guns and Yeah, I'm glad they didn't.
I mean, I was really glad that Kurt did kind of recognize the value in, you know, in the support that was around him. Mm-hmm. And that felt very real to me that, yeah. that you know, if Kurt were to, at the end of the episode, say, you know what, I was wrong. I you know, I accept God and I think that he's real. It would have felt very false because, mm-hmm. you know, he's under duress and it's a very stressful time. And it wouldn't have, and it would have felt like, well, he's just going to go back in 2 weeks. Like, yeah. it doesn't turn on a dime like that. Human beings just don't turn on a dime like that. But the realization he came down to, as much as, like, you know, I still don't believe in God, but I believe in my Father and I believe in us, mm-hmm. and I need this. And that he felt, you know, he was wrong for sending the other right. people away, for just trying to help him. That did feel very, that felt much more satisfying to me as a viewer than a more empty kind of, you know, you're right, I was wrong, I need God in my life.
Oh, yeah, that would have been, it would have seemed completely unbelievable and just and even a fleeting thing. And I mean, I think, you know, the reasons that he gave for not believing in God are, you know, they're big reasons, and they're big reasons to him, and it's not something that he obviously just, you know, came about lightly. These are things that, you know, he's obviously thought about, and this is why he feels that way. And his, you know, it took him a little while, but of course, you know, he had so much going on. You know, he was like, you know, afraid of losing his dad and so forth. But, you know, I think he finally also got to the realization that, yeah, I need other people in my life, and I need to be accepting of their beliefs just exactly. as I need them to accept me and mine. So
exactly.
it really was, I thought, incredibly well done.
Well, and one of the really beautiful things I thought about it too, was Sue's kind of plot line with her atheism, or at least her professed atheism in the show. And I thought that it was a really beautiful thing they did with Sue. Obviously, it's hard when we see Sue be fragile in a way. Like, Sue was brought to tears twice in this episode, and quite frankly, that was uncomfortable. Like, it was too much. If Sue yeah. was brought to tears once in the episode, then it would have been okay.
Yeah.
But she was brought to tears twice, and in front of Emma, and I didn't, like, her conversation with Emma, I thought, kind of betrayed what Sue is. Like, Sue would never look weak in front of Emma. She would mm-hmm. find a way to make this point and still be Sue, you know, still be hardcore. And so that whole conversation she had, while I thought it was a really unique conversation, while I thought the point she was making was to that character very valid, it was... It didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel mm-hmm. right for who Sue is as a person.
So I didn't get that. But, I mean, and I was surprised, you know, when Emma's like, you know, what happened to you?
Yeah.
She's like, sit down.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay.
That was a great moment, like, where Sue's kind of like, sit down. And Emma's like, whoa, we're actually going to do this? This is for real?
Wait. It wasn't the argument I had ready. How do I handle this? I thought it was a really another amazing moment. And, you know, I think that, yeah, she showed a slightly softer side, maybe more vulnerable, but I don't know. It didn't ruin it for me. And I don't know. I think there have been other times in last season where Sue has been vulnerable and kind of shaken a little bit, that was a little bit more uncomfortable for me. But for this one, I got it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I definitely got it from the second one. Like, I do love the relationship of Sue and her older sister, because I kind of feel like behind the doors, like, when Sue is around her older sister, I kind of feel like, okay, like, not that this is the true Sue, but mm-hmm. this is the side of Sue that she doesn't let anyone else see.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that moment, I felt that interaction she had with her sister was a really beautiful interaction.
Yeah.
And plus, the concept of Sue's character to show, you know, like if we only had Sue in the episode, and Sue's version of atheism, which kind of for Sue was she really wants to believe. Like, I got the sense that that character really wants to believe in God, but she's just unable to because of her love for her sister and because of what she's been through. Mm-hmm. But she still has hope, you know. She still has hope that she'll that she will someday, you know. Yeah. And then if it was just Sue's, you know, story or just Kurt's story, I would have felt kind of dissatisfied, because they were both there to show the two sides of that, I thought was really cool, you know, and just kind of brave of the show to be like, hey, we're not going to come firmly down on this, you know, on one side of this argument. We're going to show, you know, the way people actually feel in these situations. Yeah. I thought that was really cool. So when Sue's with her older sister and she, I love those moments. But yeah, when she was with Emma, I was just like, no, like Sue would never do this. Sue would find a way to say exactly what Sue said, but then end it with some like great punchline that shows that she really is stone cold and evil. And, like, you know, she's never soft in front of Emma.
As
never
much as
soft.
I love an impromptu civic lesson, yeah. I have to go now.
Exactly. So yeah. Good. What were you going to say?
No.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and listen to a song real quick, because we do have so many to listen to, and we're going to have to pack a bunch of these into the end. Before we leave Kurt, we do want to listen to his version of I Want to Hold Your Hand, and here is a bit of that.
You'll understand when I say that something. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. Oh, please say to me, you'll let me be your.
It's funny that we were saying how there's seven songs in this episode, and even when there are a lot of songs in the episode, they're usually not complete. But like, I Want to Hold Your Hand, Papa Can You Hear Me, they were done front to back. Like, not a moment was cut from those. That was, I mean, I love when the show does complete songs. Nothing bugs me more than like on American Idol, where they only do the first minute and then they're out.
Yeah.
Especially when it's a long song that they shouldn't be truncating.
They shouldn't be editing down,
like Total Eclipse of the Heart, then they truncate that one. It kills me. Or when
I know
Carrie Underwood did Making Love Out of Nothing at All, and it's like, that is a 7-minute song.
Yes, it is. Seven-minute song that makes all the stadiums rock.
It does.
Yeah.
So true. Has Air Supply ever rocked a stadium? There's got to be a country on the planet where Air Supply rocked a stadium.
They soft rocked a stadium.
Soft rocked a stadium. Two listeners got that joke. and I was one of them. So this was awesome. I love Kurt's voice, or I love Chris Colfer's voice, and this was fantastic. I don't know if this is like a version of the song that they just kind of jumped on, like where they got a lot of credit for doing Poker Face acoustic, but you know, that was just like, we've heard, you know, if you go on YouTube you can find Lady Gaga doing that version years ago. I don't know if this was a version that they jumped on. Maybe a listener might know, but it was fantastic. I really enjoyed this one.
I never found the song so entertaining, so interesting. I mean, I love the Beatles, but, you know, their early stuff, it's pretty simple, it's pretty repetitive, and it's over in a minute and a half. But I thought this was amazing. I do remember on American Idol early last season, somebody in Beatles Week, somebody doing a more slowed down version similar to this. Not executed nearly as well.
So it's an arrangement out in the world.
I think the arrangement is similar to what we saw before, but I just, first time I saw it, I wept a little. The second time I was just bawling. So, so great.
And how great was the casting of young Kurt in those flashbacks?
I kept thinking, I'm like, it's all camera angles. That's the same person. Oh, how adorable. I gotta look up, I mean, did you look him up? Did you see if he's any relation?
I didn't. I can't imagine that he is. But those flashbacks were pretty awesome. Oh. I mean, the different moments were fantastic. The moment at the graveyard was really touching. You know, Michael Mallett, like, how did that happen? This is a guy who mainly did, like, goofy, random television and Guts on Nickelodeon. Look it up. That, like, and now he's got this great, you know, just awesome role. I mean, fantastic.
Oh, he is so great at this, and they're so good together. It's so believable. That's the other thing, too. Like,
they make a situation that could easily turn into silliness. Mm-hmm. They make a relationship that could easily not work, and they make it totally believable. They make it look like they could actually be father and son every week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when he calls Kurt on stuff, I get that moment of like, oh, God, Dad's mad. It's like, it's so good.
He's so really good. You think Chris Colfer's going to be up for the... You watch these shows. You think Chris Colfer's going to get the Emmy for this episode?
I don't know. Well, he was nominated for an Emmy last year. Who knows? If the season keeps up like this, you could...
You got beat by Aaron Paul?
Breaking Bad
kid?
Yeah. Which I've never seen.
I've never seen it either. Yeah. I just know the actor.
But the other thing too, it's, you know, it's kind of a long shot. Although Aaron Paul isn't that well known, I guess, although he said he was in Big Love?
Well, he was on Big Love, and he was in he's done a lot of movies. Yeah. Honestly, if NPH still hasn't won that award, then I think Chris can wait a couple more years.
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
Barney deserves that award.
It was kind of a long shot that he would have won it, but, my God, just to be nominated must just be incredible. So, I love that song. I thought that whole segment was just really, really,
really
special.
Well done. Let's go ahead and listen to a bit of Papa, Can You Hear Me? This is Lea Michele doing the song from Yentl. Mm-hmm. Is that right? This song, it's interesting how when we do this show, when we do Gleeful, it gives me a better sense. Like, if I couldn't quite put my finger on what my problem was with the episode, sometimes just doing Gleeful helps me. And one of the things I'm realizing is, like, this song, Papa, Can You Hear Me? There's really nothing for us to say about this song. It just kind of happened. It was beautiful. It was well done. But it just kind of happened. And as I'm watching it, I'm going, I don't know why I'm not digging this as much as I think I would, even though it's beautiful and it's well shot and it's, you know, I'm not digging it so much. And I think part of it is because we've nothing to say about it plot-wise. Plot-wise, it just kind of popped up in the middle. Lea Michele did a solo and then we went away.
Well, I mean, and this was... Okay, well, I mean, I think you're going to get to it later, but, you know, Mercedes in the choir room got to sing her song that, you know, she couldn't put into words what she wanted to say to Kurt, how she could comfort him in her way. So she picked a song, and then this just is Rachel's way of doing it. I mean, that's what I took from it, is that besides wanting to have the solo again, but I think she just, you know, she wanted to offer comfort in song, and this is a song that's very emotional to her, and, you know, particularly her faith. I'm sure that's why it had to be done and in a park when, you know, she was in under school grounds. And
well, that's, you're good at this.
What?
You're really good at that. What? Let's give this a listen. No, that was really well said.
Thanks.
Papa, please forgive me. Try to understand me. Papa, don't you know I had no choice? You hear me praying, anything I'm saying, even though the night is filled with voices. I remember everything you taught me, every book I've ever read. Can all the words in all the books help me to face what lies ahead?
Can you hear Marcel eating over the microphone? I can't hear him chewing.
I have one ear exposed, so I'm hearing this munching on the side.
You don't have half the tinnitus I do anyway, so.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, one of the more memorable things, and I know that one of the things people were looking forward to in this episode was going to church with Mercedes. Mercedes did take us to her church in this episode. Mm-hmm. That was the smallest church. I mean, I was thinking, like, this is Glee. I think you could get a bigger church for Mercedes.
I've been in churches that small before that maybe only hold 50 or 100 people.
Oh, I've been there, but I mean, they weren't on television.
Oh, okay. Like,
I mean, the classic image on television of the big gospel church. I mean, if mm-hmm. you every Tyler Perry movie has a bigger church than that mm-hmm. one.
Wow. And, you've got to turn off your writer's brain sometimes. Just okay. enjoy this shot.
I can't turn it off. The church scene with Mercedes was fantastic. I loved, I mean, obviously we get the moments of Mercedes and Kurt. And mm-hmm. when he says, "You had me at Fabulous Hat."
Oh,
went,
it was so great.
Fantastic. But this part of Mercedes' personality, it was fun to see, you know, this aspect of who mm-hmm. she is. We don't, as much as we get the home life of some of the characters, for being, you know, as main of a character as Mercedes is, we don't get a lot of home life from Mercedes. We haven't mm-hmm. met her parents.
She rarely talks about them.
Yeah. She asked Quinn to move in with her, but then we never got to see what that experience was like.
Yeah.
So, and even when we went to church with Mercedes, we didn't meet any of her family or friends.
No, it was pretty limited, but they, I loved that scene when Kurt looks over across the aisle and sees a woman wearing the same hat as him and they just smile.
That was awesome.
That was so cute.
That was very cute. It was funny when she brought him into the church and she gets on the microphone and she says, "Hello, church."
Yes.
And they all go, "Hello." And I don't know if that's common, but not where I've been.
Yeah.
So she did that. And then she says, you know, to my buddy Kurt, she says, "I know you don't believe in God." And right at that moment, I'm thinking, like, don't tell everyone that. Like, this isn't the good, right place to have this conversation.
But I love what she said, that, you know, it gives her comfort to believe in something, and that she hopes that, you know, he can find something that he can believe in to help him in some hard times.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, the character that he was the most blunt to earlier in the episode, when he was, you know, more than anybody, he really was to Mercedes saying, "Look, I don't want to talk about this with you. Like, I don't want your prayers." And then at the end of the episode, she was really the one that told him what he needed to hear. You know, you need to have faith in something that will make this okay. And for him, you know, he found that in his father. So,
yeah.
So, you know, in classic Glee fashion, they turn it around on us.
I know. Well, they are closest of the group, you know, they're closest with each other. So it's, you know, sometimes lost in the emotional moments, but it's nice that they find their way back to each other.
We also forgot to mention earlier when Mercedes and Quinn and Rachel were praying over Bert, when Rachel was singing that song, "Papa, Can You Hear Me?" And at the end, Kurt said, "What are you guys doing here?" And I think it was Finn who said, "We have so many different denominations here. We're just, one of us is bound to be right."
It was Mercedes. Yeah. Yeah.
But so we did get to go to church with Mercedes. She performed "Bridge Over Troubled Waters," which, seriously, one of my favorite songs they've done thus far on this show. I mean, like, you know, I'm not a big church goer, but that gospel vibe, man, that'll just, oh, that's exciting. It was so good. I mean, there was some big moments in this song. It's great to see Mercedes do her thing. And so let's go ahead and listen to this, my parents' wedding song. I always have to mention that because it's very special to me. Here's, I'm very special to them as well, obviously. Here's "Bridge Over Troubled Water."
When you're in the street, when the evening falls so high, I will come. When darkness comes and there
And I think when we got married, my parents said to pick a wedding song that will is all about good stuff.
Yes.
Because their wedding song was this song, which is about getting over bad stuff. And
like,
they were like,
do it.
All the bad stuff that have happened to us, we always think, we should have picked a brighter song.
We shouldn't have promised to be able to get through it all.
But this was a great moment. And, you know, just a really cool kind of big energy song. Like, of all the songs in the show, this one to me didn't feel like it dragged down the plot at all. I mean, part of it just being the quality of the performance and the quality of the moment. It really carried it through.
It was a very uplifting moment. And I know, I'm sure that was its intent, too. And it worked really well. And I've never heard this arrangement before. It's really good.
Yeah, I don't know if this is, again, I don't know if this is an arrangement that they jumped on or what. Mm. But it was pretty. It was pretty.
Yeah.
But the only other thing I can think to mention is that Finn got to be quarterback again, because Sam was tackled by a guy who was 23 and on steroids.
300 pounds, 23 years old and on steroids. Yeah, we kind of glossed over the whole trifecta of wishes.
Oh, that's right. Finn. He had the trifecta of wishes, because he said, I don't know what Prang's life, so I don't know,
you know,
if it's like
a genie.
Genie.
I'm going to try my three wishes here. And, even after he found out about Bert, I was surprised they were so self-serving. Like, I'm surprised it took him the longest. But, again, he seemed like the one person who had no faith for a different reason. It's not like he actively didn't believe. He just, it had never been instilled in him.
Yeah, it never came up before.
So he, like, didn't know how to use it. And it was, to bring it full circle, the fact that he, you know, found it, lost it, and then came to terms with it in a week was really no surprise.
Well, yeah, he ended up becoming, he became quarterback again, and then said it was all because of the grilled cheeses.
Yes.
A great conversation with Emma where she said, okay, let's go through these things.
Step by step. We're going to break this down.
So God didn't let you touch Rachel's boobs. Rachel let you touch Rachel's boobs.
So let's go back to right before the inappropriate touching.
Yeah.
What happened right before?
But it'll be interesting. I guess this means we're going to get some more Sam, because he's not football anymore. So we're going to, or he's not the quarterback anymore. So we'll have to see what Sam becomes. Lady Lips, yeah. Almost got his arm tore off.
Yeah. So it looks like he's going to be the 12th person in New Directions.
Yeah. And in the promo for the next episode, Mike got a line.
And not just a line like, we need a word here, and we're just going to like pan across. He gets an actual moment to act.
He had it like in the promo.
I know.
He got a moment.
So maybe that means more Mike.
We shall see.
And not just his abs. Not that I'm complaining.
Well, that's pretty much all I have for this episode. Do you have anything else, Jennifer?
No, I really liked it. I had seen Gemma Mays on Good Morning LA last week, and only thing she said about this week's episode was that have your Kleenex ready, and I'm glad I did. I really did.
It was definitely, it tugged a lot at the heartstrings on this one. Be interesting to see what happens next week, since, as I said, it does seem like we're going to get more Sam. So we're looking forward to that. At this point, I would ask Ed if he wants to tell us about any iTunes reviewers, but Ed is not here, so our thoughts go out to Ed. You know, I was really terrified about recording this episode of Gleeful, because I was worried the conversation would be kind of awkward. But at the end of the day, if a show like Glee gets us to have this type of an honest, you know, conversation at all, better that we talk about it than not at all. So it's nice to
Good point. Nice
to bring it up. We're going to finish off with One of Us Here. This is a huge hit back in the day. Joan Osborne. Yes, she never really topped this one, did she?
Yeah, when you come out with this, it's probably hard to, you know, come out with something as memorable.
Yeah, and it drummed up a lot of controversy at the time, where people were like, how dare she even
humanize
float the concept, where it wasn't, you know, the song's not about God at all. but about how we treat each other. Anyway, it's a beautiful song. It's also a great version by Prince, if you can find that. If you'd like to weigh in on anything we said tonight, you can do so at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can check out the Facebook fan page or go to the website www.gleefulpodcast.com. We've had crazy technical difficulties on the website, so I apologize if people haven't been able to access the shows. They should all be coming back in the next couple weeks, but there's still a couple of our older episodes that are inaccessible, so we apologize about that. But we're doing my best. So we will talk to everybody soon. And for the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed, I've been Josh.
I've been Jen.
And Ed will be back next week when we're not. Good night, everyone.
Good night. What if God was one?